Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
I think you should call me the MVP from now on.
Or the GOAT.
That'll work. I'll take GOAT.
Greatest of all time, maybe.
The greatest Matt.
I mean, the Matt valuest player.
Something like that. I couldn't come up with something. I was thinking about it.
Yeah, you know, the hardest part about doing this show is the apparent lack of planning about what we're going to say. I like the ability to be off the cuff and like really unfiltered on some days, and then it backfires. Now, you know, you use the term MVP, and as a sports fan, I think most valuable player. But in the world of startups, that's not what an MVP is. And we're going to talk all about that during today's episode of Startup Hustle, which, by the way, is part 28 of 52 in our 52-part series about how to start a tech company. We're walking you through the process and trying to tell you about all of the great and really terrible stuff we've done in our 10 plus years, multiple exits. Hey, Matt, do you know that between the two of us, we have two really big software exits?
Between the both of us? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, they're both yours, but yeah. So yeah, you like what I did there. Now, Matt, we're going to talk all about MVPs and we'll hopefully give some really good advice. I think the follow-up to the last week's episode about buy or build is a good foundation for this. Before we get into that, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. That's the business that Matt Watson and I own together, and we help you build a team of experts. Look, you can afford the team you want and you need. Go to Fullscale.io and let us tell you all about it. Now, Matt, I have one other announcement that I think is important. Did you know that Pipeline Entrepreneurs has taken over Startup Hustle during the last week of August, just a couple of weeks from now? And we're excited to welcome our guest host, Melissa Vincent. She's got five straight shows starting August 30th, and she's going to talk with the other Pipeline Entrepreneurs. Now, if you're not familiar, Pipeline Entrepreneurs is an awesome, I don't want to say it's an accelerator or an incubator. It's more of a mentoring program. And yeah, they pick some really, really awesome entrepreneurs in our region of the country. So it's Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska, right in the dead center of the country. But man, they have a Hall of Fame.
They do.
Cast from the past episodes. So I'm really excited. So Melissa runs that program, and you're going to hear from her a lot more on the show, and you are going to see her on Startup Hustle TV soon as well. So welcome to the family, Melissa. We're glad to have you around. Now, she's an MVP, Matt. I'm not sure that – wait.
So are you. We're MVPs. MVP, minimum viable podcast host.
Oh! By the way, you should have said podcaster, Matt, because you
okay.
may mean MVPH. PH. Anyway, I'll be here to pick up your slack for the rest of the episode too, Matt. So, all right, dude, what do you think MVP? I mean, in terms of startup products and whatever, as you mentioned, a minimum viable product, and that's a technique that's designed to deliver products with sufficient workable features in the shortest amount of time. And we're going to get into more of that. And that means basically additional features that you develop after the MVP is achieved are based on what you learn from your MVP itself. Now, look, this is probably for many of you going to be the most important part of the seesaw that goes back and forth when it comes to success or failure, because you can really get caught up in this and stay on the shitty side of spending, timelines, budgets, runways, a lot of that, or you can move fast and break things, which is my method, and figure out how to fail quickly or what you're onto. So when you think about MVP, Matt, I mean, what do you got?
Well, when you're creating software, creating your MVP is always hard because you don't know where to draw the line, right? Like, how much do we create? What, you know, how many features do we need to build? And as a software engineer, we're usually the kind of guys or gals that would hide in the basement in the lab with the lights off and just write code and never actually go talk to customers and find out what they want, or never ship a product. Like, we'd always find an excuse and a reason not to ship the product because we want to keep improving it or fixing it or whatever. And really the theory around the minimum viable product is figuring out, okay, where do we draw the line? These are the absolute minimum things we need to do to go get it in front of a customer and validate that our assumptions are correct, that this provides value to them, and get feedback about what we should do next.
And the feedback's the key part of that. Like, this isn't like what you're going to be judged on. And there's so many uber successful people that have made comments along the lines of, if you don't look back at your very first launch or release with sheer terror later, like, oh my God, I can't believe we put that out, then you held on to it for too long. Part of what the MVP process is really designed for and utilized for is to help you understand what kind of adoption you're going to get within the things that are involved with what you're building. And I've made this mistake. You know, when we went to launch Gigabook, we put a bunch of like sales tracking and just like general, like keeping like logging features in there. And then we launched it and then we found that no one used them. And we spent a lot of time and money building it. And in retrospect, it would have been better if I could have that money back for a feature that no one gave a shit about and instead put that into promo. Maybe we'd have the $3 billion valuation and not Calendly.
Or you talk to those customers and they tell you about three things that you're missing that you really, really needed. So it's like you built three things that you didn't need, and you burnt the money that you could have spent during building three things that you really did need instead, right? So that's always the struggle you have. But it's also, it's about the key thing about MVP and a startup, and it's kind of the nature of a startup, right? Is usually you're trying to solve a problem that other people haven't solved before, or solve it in a different way, and all those things, right? So think about me. I love SEO. I love content marketing. If you messaged me and said, Matt, I know you love content marketing. I know you have this particular problem because I understand what you do, but I know how to solve it, and we're going to solve it in a different way, and I really want your feedback, right? And I get excited, like, oh, I love that thing, and if you can solve that, I'd be so excited, right? And it's all about then having the MVP to put in front of me to get that feedback, to get me excited, and for me to say, yes, this, you're right on track. I would pay for this. Please get me signed up immediately, right? Or these are the three things that you need. If you can deliver, add these three things to it, I'm a customer, right? Like, you're trying to get your product in front of somebody like me for whatever that specific thing is, get that key feedback and get them signed up, and then take that feedback and keep iterating.
There's another lane on this highway as well that I think is important. Is so we've spent a lot of time, and you know, I think probably the most popular topic of conversation that I get into, other than just building software, is fundraising. And when you have something tangible and you can show it, like, hey, here's my MVP. And then you eat the shame with it. You're like, hey, look, this is certainly not the final thing. This is our MVP. Look, sophisticated investors know and appreciate the value of that part of the process. So they're not going to be highly judgmental. It demonstrates that you've got traction. Like in the Startup Hustle Facebook chat, I often ask questions that are, you know, polls or just like, hey, what's something you hear from VCs before they don't write you a check? And the number one the most popular answer to that question was, call us back when you have some traction. Yeah. Well, having an MVP and something that's demonstrable and tangible and real is a completely different conversation with potential funding partners. Do you agree?
I mean, absolutely. Just think, the other day we sent Jeff Bezos to space, right? And it's like, hey, we've got an MVP. We've proven we can do it. Now we're selling tickets for $250,000 for anybody who wants to go. And let's go raise $1 billion in funding to start a space, you know, vacation trip thing or whatever. It's like, we've proven we can get a human being there. I mean, one time, we did it one time, we proved it, right? Where otherwise, we're all like, there ain't no way in hell somebody's going to do this, and I ain't putting money into
it. Or you're going to blow me up or something.
Yeah. But now it's like, okay, they proved they can do it. They proved there's a market. They've got customers lined up. Man, as an investor, I'm excited. How do I put my money in this thing and put fuel on the fire?
You know, another thing too is investors, especially most institutional money, meaning funds and people that, you know, family offices and stuff, they love writing checks when they're lighting the fuse on marketing and sales, meaning
yes.
there's so many unanswered questions for a product that hasn't been built. And, you know, we've been joking about the fact that we're about a month behind on our timeline for our 52-part series that was supposed to occur all in 2021. Well, the reason that we've owned that so outwardly is because that's what owning a startup is like too. And the thing is it's very easy for investors to put money in things that haven't been built yet that end up not getting built because the runway ends, or they need more money, or they do a lot of different things. By the way, in regards to billionaires traveling to space, you know, there's been a lot of talk about UFOs or UAPs and
yes.
all that stuff lately. And I realized those are probably just billionaires from other planets. So, I mean, if we're wondering what's flying around in the skies, I mean, there's probably just billionaires from Saturn or wherever the hell they're coming from. So problem solved there. And, you know, they're just but the MVP part of the rocket that Bezos flew. And by the way, if you do get your own rocket, don't land it and then tell all the people at your company, you paid for this. Thank you. They're not going to empathize with your rocket ship.
But you can't get a raise.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to pee in this Gatorade bottle because you can't take a break.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, there's tasteful ways to launch your own rocket to space and come back. And that's maybe not one of them.
So something we should talk about, I believe, on MVPs is what you need to include in your MVP or don't need to include to some degree, right? Like as a software developer, it's one thing to create an application. It's like, okay, you can log in and you can add things and you can search this and do this and do the functions. But it's like, oh yeah, there's no way to actually sign up for an account. If you want to sign up for an account, I got to like have my developer like go behind the scenes somehow and like create your account and your user. But you know what? The user will never know, right? Like we don't have to spend our time on that stuff. We spend our time on what the customer is going to see, right? So we've had other episodes about technical debt and stuff like that. And some of that, when you're working through your MVP, is all about prioritizing that. It's like, hey, we're just trying to get what the customer logs into. The customer does the functions they need, this key integration we need, whatever. But there's a lot of other loose ends and shit behind the scenes that nobody really knows about and nobody cares about. And we don't have all these advanced features. There's no single sign-on. There's no reporting. We don't have a billing system yet. Yeah, you can't export the data. Like, yeah, there's all these things. We haven't done any of them, but we've proven that you actually give a shit enough that we should spend time on those things, right?
In layman's terms, it's okay to be Oz and be behind the curtain pulling a
yeah.
lot of different strings in this
Yeah,
regard.
Just make now, it work.
Matt's talking about the sign-in and back to like a very granular, like simplified version of that. You don't have to build an overly complex super admin environment on your MVP that has advanced business intelligence dashboards and shit like that.
No.
Like in Matt's example, the sign up doesn't do anything other than let the user in and maybe populate some info in a database, because that stuff doesn't matter yet. It doesn't matter yet. You're trying to figure out if people give a shit. Dude, there is literally like probably millions of MVP products that got launched only for people to realize shortly thereafter, if not instantly, that there wasn't a market for it, that it wasn't a good product market fit, or maybe their idea wasn't as brilliant as they thought it was.
Right.
And that's part of it. Cause look, you're not going to spend a whole, you're not going to spend a shitload of money building the MVP. Well, you shouldn't, or you don't necessarily need to. And the idea of that is to, some of it's capital preservation.
Well,
like I mentioned earlier, with overbuilding stuff in Gigabook that we then didn't use. That's probably 50 grand where the time, effort, energy. I mean, I can't get that back. I can't go get a refund on that labor.
Yep, absolutely.
So Matt, what do you think the biggest mistake is when founders like build an MVP? I mean, we've talked about overbuilding it a little bit, but like when you get past that, what are a couple other things?
It's not talking to your customers and users enough. I think that's one of the big ones, is getting in front of your customers, even if you don't necessarily have a whole lot to show them, but just getting in front of them, you know, find people on LinkedIn or whatever and offer to buy them lunch, whatever you got to do, right? And be like, hey, I'm trying to build this new thing. My target audience is people like you. I'm just trying to understand this problem, trying to get your feedback, right? Learn the industry, understand how people solve these problems today, and figure out how you can solve them better. And you're going to have to solve them like 10 times better, by the way. And get feedback from actual users instead of you just thinking you're the expert and building a bunch of stuff and then you ship it and nobody cares.
So is it fair to say that if we had a checklist of things that were to observe and look at before creating or launching an MVP, that could be helpful?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, Matt, because we do have a checklist. And before I get into that, as a quick reminder, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io. We make hiring developers easy. It's that simple. Like vet them, hire them, keep them, background stuff, to protect your intellectual property and find the best people you can. And, you know, Matt, do you know that we have to go through about 40 applicants to hire one person?
So that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of work, but we're doing it up front for our clients so they can get to work on building their
quality people
and other things. So yeah, dude, that's the key. That's the key ingredient. So with a checklist for creating an MVP, like let's start with some questions. How about a few things we should ask ourselves? Let's look within before we expand outward, Matt. The real Zen moment here.
Deep thoughts by Matt.
So deep thoughts by Matt. We'll just leave it there. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't think people listening understand how difficult and confusing it is to have two founders of a company both named Matt. First off, neither one of us can be Matt at Fullscale.io, because who the hell would that go to? And then we have to both either be Matt or the other Matt, or Watson or Deco is what they call us now, because nobody knows when you just say Matt. All right, so Matt, but I think one of the, like, you talk about things you're going to ask yourself is like, okay, for me, I think you need to ask yourself, what are the two, maybe three at most valuable things that whatever I'm building should do? Like whatever it is, like we're going to leave this pretty wide open. I don't know what your MVP is going to do, but there's two or three things, and maybe only one, that matter to your future users.
A key problem.
You're asking this question because that's what you have to be aces at.
Yep. And everything needs to build around it, right? Like our goal was to solve X problem and everything else is in support of that goal. And
so, well, other examples, well, another example, we've used Gigabook a lot, and you compare Calendly. Calendly does one simple thing and they do it well. I mean, they really do. They do it well. And it's connect to Google Calendar and give an online booking link. And that one thing was so important to so many people that it became a very widespread used product, where more sophisticated, more setup, more build, a lot of that stuff like Gigabook was, it served a different type of client, but it was way more intensive to launch anything. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's like, what do you want to just be awesome at? Because if you're in this day and age, there's tons of tools and things and solutions where being awesome and aces at one thing, get it done.
Yeah. And everything should be in support of what that goal is.
Right. So with that, though, when we say goals, it's like, I mean, so what ask yourself, what's your future vision for the product? Like, where do you see things going? Because your crystal ball is guaranteed to be broken. But you got to have some idea about what you're looking for. Like this is also forming, like in third grade at the science fair, I had to make a hypothesis and I didn't even know how to say that in third grade, but you want to test, you're testing. Is this going to work? Is this not going to work? What's the vision for it going forward? If you don't have your own vision squared away and like, if you're not, or if it doesn't exist, no one's going to be able to build it. You're going to, it's just, things go sideways in a hurry.
Well, and when you're starting a new company, somebody's got to have the vision of where the company's going and everybody's got to buy into the vision and follow along too. Right. So it's important as the founding team to have that vision and know where you're going.
What are some things that you would ask yourself?
Oh man, why am I doing this?
I did ask yesterday, which would, by the time this comes out, would be a couple of weeks ago. You may have seen in the Startup Hustle chat on Facebook. Give the best advice you can to someone that wants to start a business and use only three words. There are very, very interesting answers in yes. there. Everything from good luck, kid, to get sleep now. You know, a lot of different things, but
did you like my answer?
That Startup Hustle podcast? Yes. It was the best answer of all of them. So yeah. Come join us, listeners, come join us, find us. We have all the different hosts from both podcast and Startup Hustle TV participate in that. And it's clean and non-spammy is the way we like it. So
it's a good group.
I think another thing to ask yourself, Matt, is just simply like, what are my expectations, right? Like,
where are you going with this, right? Like, is your goal to go public and ring the bell on Wall Street? Is this a lifestyle business where you just want to get a couple customers and make a few bucks, and it's like just a business for you? Do you want to raise capital? You know, like you want to go to Silicon Valley and sleep in a van and raise money out there, like. What are you doing? Like, what is the goal?
Those all sound so fun, except for the sleeping in the van part. Is that because that's the only affordable housing in Silicon Valley?
Yeah. Renting a car is cheaper to rent a car and sleep in a car, I think, than to rent an apartment.
Get an old van. The older, the better. The fewer windows, the better. All right. So we're going to move on. I got a different section of the checklist, Matt. So, you know, so much about, all right, look, if your business, I don't even care if it's a tech business, if your business doesn't solve a problem, your business sucks. You're never going to make a lot of money on it. You're not.
But I'm creating a experience and lifestyle brand that everybody's going to love and flock to.
Okay.
It's got to solve.
Name three of those.
It's got to solve a problem. It's got to solve a problem that people right. are willing to pay for too, right? When you talk about consumer stuff, like we know a lot of people, my wife, all, you know, they all got problems, right? And you can find solutions to some of those problems. Doesn't mean they're going to pay for any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's really, so like the problem, so to solve a problem, and then, you know, I think the other things is with the sense of value is like, who's this aimed to, right? Like who's your target here? Who's most likely to use this and find utility in it? So are you business to business? Are you business to consumer? Like, are you an enterprise solution? I mean, so much of that has a lot to do with your approach. And, you know, like, all right, here's a good question to add. We're going to go back. We're going back to Zen mode, Matt. Would you be willing to buy this product? Would you be willing to buy your own product? Because if you're struggling for that, don't start the business.
Well, and I think what's really important aspect of this MVP is knowing who your audience is, right? Because if you're building an MVP, let's use Gigabook as an example. It's like, hey, we're building a scheduling application. If you build it in such a way that it's kind of complicated and does a lot of things, and then you go to, you know, a hairstylist, a massage place, all this, right? And whatever you show them, if it's kind of very generic, it may not click with them and you may not get as good a response. Where if it was like really tailored to a massage place or whatever, and the graphics and all the lingo and all that are like perfectly aligned to that, it might click a lot better and they'll be like, oh yeah, this is cool. This perfectly solves what I need, right? And that's part of the issue of the MVP is you've also got to kind of know what your niche is, who your audience is, where you're going to focus first, because that's a perfect example where it's hard to, you know, perfectly solve the problem for different personas and industries, where if you can pick one and get really good feedback on that one, you can expand to other ones later potentially. But if you dumb down your product too much, you'll dumb it down too much that it won't be interesting to any of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that 10 years ago, that might have been a different conversation, but now things are hyper specific. So you can find a lot of niches within very well established and highly competitive things. And you know, we've been using Gigabook recently as an example. Like, honestly, if I could go back and do it again, so I had an opportunity several years ago when the escape room. The whole thing like became a big craze, and there just wasn't a good booking solution. And I realized that because we had a bunch of people signing up and reaching out and asking stuff. We could have taken kind of a hard pivot of sorts and just really specialized in that. We didn't. I saw two competitors that did, and they're killing it. They're killing it because they differentiated themselves within a crowded space by being really, really good for an industry and something that was rapidly growing.
Yeah.
So, you know, six or seven years ago, people weren't, I mean, escape rooms existed, but they caught on fire and all of a sudden they were everywhere. There wasn't an industry specific, you know, scheduling or booking platform. And two of our competitors, we weren't really ready to make that pivot. And weren't ready. I don't know if we would have pulled it off, but those two own the entire industry with that. And there's enough meat on that bone that they've made a lot. They've guaranteed made a lot of money, because the more specific your solution is and the more ready to go out of the box, well, the more you can get for it too. Like if you've thought it out, we were talking about HubSpot in the last episode of buy versus build. So much of what you're paying for with stuff like that isn't the technology. It's the thought and consideration that went into what you'll need so you can even get it yourself on some days.
Well, another good example of this is Vend Solutions, right? We built a CRM system for car dealers. Did we compete with Salesforce or HubSpot? Nope. It was industry specific. You know, Vend Solutions actually had the concept of a car in it, right? Like Salesforce and HubSpot, like, there's no cars in it, right? Like industry specific solutions. And that's when you talk about like your minimum viable product is really the key here is trying to figure out a specific niche that you can focus on first and get traction in, instead of trying generically solve the problem for too many people. I think that's really the key lesson here.
Didn't you sell that company for like $150 million, something in that ballpark?
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
For those of you listening, that's true story. Google Matt, and not the YouTube Matt Watson. There's a lot of Matt Watsons out there. Do you know that there's a Matt DeCourcy that's like the prime, like a very high government official in Canada? And I get tagged a lot in Facebook things, and they tag the wrong Matt DeCourcy. Huh. I also put my own name in Google the other day, and you know how you can always tell what other people are searching by what drops down? It's a Matt DeCourcy. It said Matt DeCourcy full scale, and then it said Matt DeCourcy net worth. So for those of you that are out there fact checking, good luck on that one.
Yeah.
All right.
You'd be scared shitless
of it. Your net worth was, according to the picture in Startup Hustle Chat on Facebook the other day, your net worth was somewhere around 6 cents.
Yeah. Mine, if you do Matt Watson, it says like Matt Watson athlete, like comes up and like stuff like that.
Matt, that could be you, because you are, for those of you wondering who Watson is, go watch Startup Hustle TV, the first couple episodes. We literally have a section that highlights Matt's surprise athleticism. You jumped over like a 5-foot tall stack of Jenga blocks successfully and did a pretty amazing high jump at the Navy Arena one day.
I was like, I almost qualified for the Olympics.
Your basketball skills from a ball handling, your ball handling is subpar, but you did beat me at Papa Shot at the Dave and Buster's. I was embarrassed about that, by the way. Never was a good free throw shooter. All right. So, you know, with the sense of value and understanding it in my, okay. So as someone that's a, like has the marketer, promoter and sales gene in me, look, this is where this is really important early, because it's this kind of value that can, could and should shape your approach to marketing. Because if you identify what the problem and the value proposition is, so with Gigabook, we made this mistake because we were like, it'll provide convenience, take bookings online, collect payments, boring. How about have some peace of mind, unchain yourself from your business? Those were the marketing lines and approaches that people really responded to, because they're like, shit, these people get me. They know the problem. They know my phone's ringing. My texts are going off all day. I want peace of mind. I want to be able to step away from the business and feel like I'm not chained to it. And I mean, those are the kind of things, do not underestimate the value of that. Okay. So do you have a comment there?
Well, so I think in relation to this, right, like doing market research is important, you know, talking to analysts. You know, hopefully you're solving a problem that maybe the analysts and everybody aren't quite up to speed on, right? Maybe you're ahead of the curve. But talking to industry experts, analysts, stuff like that, and getting feedback about the product you're trying to build can be great. Figuring out your go-to-market strategies, testing, marketing, all that kind of stuff is important as well. And it all kind of goes hand in hand around what is the minimum viable product we're trying to build. And testing, do people care? Will they pay for it? How do we attract customers? Like, these are all problems that you have to solve early on, and they all go hand in hand. And you can't like forget about one and then wait a whole bunch of time and then start on it. Like, you got to work on all these things in tandem a little bit.
So, you know, so with that though, I think this last section I want to talk about is, yeah, I think if you ignore or don't give consideration to this stuff, I think you're kind of wasting your effort with the MVP. And that's just talking about data goals. Like, the purpose of the MVP is to get feedback, but we talked about it, you being able to parlay that effort into fundraising. So you want to like understand things like customer acquisition cost, or at least at a minimum, I mean, everything from like, how much does it even cost to get an ad click? Right.
Yep.
And then how many people sign up? And some of that, because you're not going to get to the next phase of capital raising, or you're just going to be throwing a lot of money away if you don't have a basic understanding of that. Because these are the questions that's going to come up when you do get that meeting with the venture capitalist or the investor. And if you have no ability to say, hey, this is a great product, it solves a need. Okay, cool. How much does it cost to acquire a user? I have no clue.
And things like total addressable market, right? Like, how big is the market for this thing? Now, what you don't want to do is say, we're going to go sign up 1% and we're going to be trillionaires. Like, you don't want to do that. But you do want to know, like, oh,
why
we're trying
only
to sell
1%,
this.
Matt? You're going to get 25% of market share in your first 6 months. I hear people say that shit.
Their hockey stick shows that after 9 months, you know, that's 1% the first month. But the key thing is, like, really, we're going to sell a software product to massage places. Okay, well, how many are there? There are 67,000. Okay, well, now you know, have some sense, right? It's not 300 of them. It's 67,000 of them, whatever the numbers are.
And how many of them are potentially served by a competitive product already?
Anything you know is good.
A little bit in the last couple episodes. Yeah. So the thing is one of the things is if part of your future growth strategy involves prying people away from something they already use, you need to really, 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 really know and understand that what you're building and what you launch has to be significantly better, not just a little bit better. You're not going to win because it's $2 a month cheaper.
And a good example,
really in the end, people don't care.
And a good example of this would be like cloud hosting, right? It's easy to say, oh, there's people have like 10 million servers, but only 2% of it has moved to the cloud. Like, we know there's a massive amount that still hasn't adopted this technology, and we're entering this space and we're going to compete with these competitors, or it's an untapped market, right? Like, understanding the market dynamics is really important, and the better you can tell that story, to investors, the better off you're going to be.
So when it comes to the data, the things that you, some of the things, and we can just, let's just do a little brainstorm here. You've got everything from like trends, forecasts, and surveys. Okay. So that's, you don't, you can create what I just mentioned without an MVP, right? You don't need a minimally viable product to take some stabs at that. What you want to look at is like, for example, first off, the customer acquisition cost, in my opinion, is like up there. That's on the gold medal podium without a doubt. And it'll tell you a lot. And being able, you don't have to prove it on like a massive sample size. You got to prove it a little bit. And it's as simple as like how many ad clicks result in someone signing up for a trial. It's a good place to start. And then other things too, I think involve engagement. Like, all right, so how many of those people actually come back?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Like it's one thing I can generate if I can generate a billion free trials, but if 0% of them convert, who cares?
How many of them become qualified leads?
Right. And other things too, is like you mentioned, like some of the biggest mistakes that people make is not listening to or talking to the users. Like call them, literally call them, pick up the phone or email them or do whatever, and just be open and honest. Say, hey, first off, thank you so much for your interest in our product. As you may or may not know, we're new and input is valuable. Your feedback is valuable. And we're trying to make it about the user. We're trying to create solutions that you find valuable, that you are excited about, that make your life easier. What are we missing? What do we need to do different? And then listen for the echo. Just listen for like, you're going to get, it'll look like a long tail because you'll have some things that'll get mentioned a bunch and then you'll have a long string of things that get mentioned once. Forget about the ones, look for the ones that are repetitive. That's how you analyze the MVP. I mean, is that as simple as it can be put, Matt? I mean, I don't know how to simplify it even anymore.
Well, and that gets a little bit back to what we talked about earlier with Gigabook, right? It's like you spend all your time and you could build these three features that nobody cared about. Or do you instead focus on the 80%, right? Like the 80% of all the people care about these things. And then we very selectively kind of chase these other little things. So it's staying focused on that 80% because people will always ask for dumb shit that never
ended. You don't want to chase those shiny things. Cause remember you're early, it's MVP. You want the minimally lovable product.
Like, there you go.
What's the most exact things that you can do to make people love your product? So, all right.
Minimum lovable podcaster.
There you go. I'm the MLP on this show without a doubt, without a doubt.
Yeah. You know me.
Oh, Matt, you know, it's really Matt that makes this show what it is. So,
yes.
All right. So back to the checklist, Matt, as we're approaching the end of our time here on talking about an MVP. By the way, for those of you listening, we often enter these shows going, man, are we going to really have 40 minutes of content? And then we get to like the 40th minute and we're like halfway through what we wanted to talk about. So, research, man, I think the research thing's key. I just have had too many people that, hey, I don't have any competition. And then like, I'll Google it. Like, and in 1 minute, I'm like, not only do you have competition, you've got a lot of it.
Yes.
Like, know what you're stepping into. Like there's a jumping and building wings component, to entrepreneurship. But if I'm going to do that, I need to know that I've got all the shit to build the wings before I jump. Because otherwise that's just one more thing to do on the way to the canyon floor.
In some ways, it's more dangerous to be building a product that there is no existing market for, right? Like, because now you have to go educate the market about the problem. Or you call somebody like me who's a CTO of a company and you're like, I can solve this problem. But me, I'm like, yeah, but I got 10 other problems that are more important than that one, right? That's not the current problem of the day that's hot in the industry. You might be solving a problem that'll be important like 5 years from now, but it's not a problem today. And so sometimes it's really scary to get into that shape, that place too, where the industry doesn't know that they even need the solution that you have yet.
Making a market or filling up a marketplace are two of the most challenging things that a new business can handle, because it's just a challenge. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, Matt, because the last thing I've got on this list is consulting an expert. Reach out to people. Like you mentioned, being a CTO of a company, you've been a founder, you have successfully exited two huge software companies. And Matt, one thing that I've always noticed, the reason I even know you is because I reached out to consult an expert about Gigabook years ago. You were super accommodating. We met and had breakfast together at a local place near where we live. We didn't talk for several months after that. Later, I ended up asking you to be interviewed in my book. We became friends, later became business partners, podcast hosts, all that stuff. You never know where these things are going to lead, but like you've been very, one of the things that people always mention about you is you're very accommodating to giving people input. I am too. Like, as long as I don't have to like really, really, really go out of my way to do it. Like, if you make it convenient for me to give you input, I'll probably do it. Reach out. You can email me, Deco, D-E-C-O at fullscale.io. You know,
and as long as I can tell you your baby's ugly and you're okay with it and you can take it.
I always give a disclaimer. I say, look, I'm going to give you transparent, open feedback, but what I'm not going to do is argue with you about whether I'm right and you're wrong. If you want my input, I'll give it to you. There it is. And you can't get mad at me if I don't tell you if I don't tell you exactly what you want to hear.
Yep.
I just did that the other day. I had someone kind of reaching out and like had sent me a long thing, and I read it and I said, honestly, I said, so what do you think the problems are that you'll have to overcome? And they listed a whole bunch of other things, and none of which were in the top three of what I saw being problematic. It was actually a marketplace issue. I said, I think you're grossly under. I said, building the marketplace is easy. Getting people to actually get in it and then do transactions in it is a completely different thing.
I always give the example of like creating a dating website, right? It's like you can't create a dating website without a whole lot of guys and girls in it. And a dating website with nothing but dudes in it, it's not going to go anywhere. Unless it's just for dudes. But it's so hard to create marketplaces, man. That's a hard thing.
And that's because remember, you got to have buyers and sellers, but you have to have enough of them.
Yes.
It's not just about having one or the other. So you got to get them in there in a way. It's just really, really challenging, because if you get one and not the other, then it's just also kind of futile. Like, so anyway, all right. So I'm going to, on the way out, and once again, today's episode of Startup Puzzle is brought to you by Full Scale, and fullscale.io is where you can find us. I want to also encourage all of you to join our Facebook chat, Startup Hustle chat on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, type in Startup Hustle. Also go check out our YouTube channel. We got a lot of great stuff. There's a really cool video that we recorded over the series of almost 6 months with Matt Watson that walked through the whole process of his recent company being acquired. And there's a lot of cool stuff in there, but it's all free. So I think you'll really enjoy it. That said, Matt, I got a list of things that I don't want to get out. I don't want to get out of this episode without mentioning. And there's a couple things to avoid when you develop an MVP. So misinformation and miscommunication can either slow things down or just push you in the wrong direction. Setting general parameters. That's why I said, be specific about what you want. Be good at one thing before you try to be good at three. Be great at one thing before you try, because otherwise you're gonna end up being like okay at four things, and that just doesn't get it done. Some of the things, this is where like Full Scale and other companies that specialize in this stuff and have experience, like you gotta have an understanding of like the software development lifecycle. Matt, does software ever get done on time?
Nope, it always takes twice as long as you think if you're lucky.
Just does.
So if you can deliver software exactly on time, on schedule, please email me. You're hired.
Yeah, true. See, it's funny. Speaking of communication, this morning, Full Scale was listed as one of the fastest growing companies in our hometown of Kansas City. So my shit's blowing up. I keep getting text messages. I never thought that would be such an amazing lead gen tool. But last thing though, don't mismanage your resources. It's really easy. Like, and mismanagement of resources is can come in so many different ways. It can be hiring the wrong people. Look for people that know what they're doing. You can roll the dice on some things, but like when it comes, look, Matt, do you think great companies, like elite, amazing companies, are they founded and do they have foundations that are just strictly based on like average or shitty people?
I mean, no, but once you become a big company, that seems to be the norm.
Well, but the
best ones are just a little, they must be like 2% above average probably.
If you're but here's the thing. If you're a 2-person company and one of you is fucking terrible, 50% of your company is terrible.
No, I mean, and big companies though, like once they become big companies is what I mean. Like, no, when they start out, they've got to be above average. Right. But then every company I owned and sold, eventually they become average over time. That skill level goes down to average. It's just the way it works.
Yeah, but they're average in a massive way. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, you get it though. But look, you try to find people that know what they're doing and levels of expertise. Like, you know, and I think one of the big mistakes that people make is, especially with software, is they go to try to find the like cheapest software talent they can get, and it ends up just not coming out very good, or it's slow as hell, or it just ends up having to be rebuilt. And I'm not saying that you have to have like the world's top developer, but your life is going to feel a lot better on the way to pushing that MVP out if you have people around you know that know what they're doing while you're figuring out all the things that you need to figure out next.
I also don't want the cheapest heart surgeon or an average one.
Yeah. It's the point. So should I cancel my haircut this afternoon with the budget haircut place?
Oh, I'm going to get a cheap ass haircut this weekend. Oh yeah.
But
it grows back.
Like, you buzz your hair. The problem, yeah. The thing I have is, you know, my hair is just thinner. And so I feel like it old. Doesn't deserve a full, I feel like, I know, but I feel like I should get a half price haircut because there's just less hair.
You just wear a hat and cover that shit up anyway. So it doesn't matter.
I'm wearing a hat, honestly, right now, Matt, because I was just too lazy to wake up and take a shower and shave. And like, I had quarantine hair and beard long before quarantine hair and beard.
You know, I figured it out.
For the rage.
I have the MVP of haircuts. I just buzz it all off. It's like the MVP.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you probably overpay for that too, don't you? You should just let your kids do it. It's a guard. I mean, you can't mess that up. Actually, you can, so don't. Well, Matt, I think we covered a lot of good stuff. For those of you that are interested, look through the feed of the show. There's a ton of this kind of topic and subjects. We're coming up on our 700th episode. Do you know we're going to have our 2 millionth download episode soon?
That's crazy.
Who are you people? And thank you at the same time.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I need to go back and check and see if we finally got that listener in the Isle of Man.
2 million.
Which was one of the, like, isn't that crazy? 2 million.
2 million. That's crazy.
2 million. I know. And thanks. I mean, we should just say thanks. There's infinite number of things that you can do with your time. So anytime you spend paying attention to what we're saying or doing, very humbling. And thank you. I'll see you next time, Matt.
See ya.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.